then there's that thing. All right, we learned that the theme for the month of actually Shavuot in the Hebrew, but it overlaps our month of January and a little bit of February, but we learned that God's theme for this month is the new year of the trees, or the new year for trees. I pointed out to you last week, but it bears repeating. Israel, all of Israel, celebrates this holiday, Tuba Shavuot, because they are, for the most part, farmers and growers of things planted, and they understand the imagery and the wording and the principles applied for farming. And because Israel right now is in the spring of their year, things are blooming, things are budding, things are turning green over there. They know that if you're going to have a good crop, you get the seed in the ground at the right time. So they make sure they do all of that. But in a spiritual sense, they make sure that they sow God's seed according to His word, and they make sure that they seek the Lord to say and to declare, this year I will have a good crop. I will have God's blessing on my seed when I sow it and on my harvest when I bring it in. And they start that part of the new year. They start that new year the same way every time it comes around. The most important thing for us this month, and we've got a couple of more weeks. Tomorrow is actually Shavuot 1, the Hebrew calendar. So about 3 or 4 weeks to make sure your seed is correctly planted in the good ground of your heart. That's our goal for this month. Because then we move into other things throughout the year that'll keep watering that seed and keep protecting that seed so it can bear the good fruit of God's anointing upon it. All right? Now, I want to take a verse. Last week, we learned some principles about sowing. More on that a little bit later. But let's take a look at Psalm 1. And we just started our study of the Psalms again, and I'll be sending you a Psalm each day. Psalm 1 is a good way to start that process. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. It goes on, but I'm skipping over to verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the waters, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. So we have a word of instruction that says, instead of being ungodly, meditate in God's word. You should love his word with a passion, and you should meditate in it. And the purest Hebrew definition of meditating in God's word is saying it out loud so your ears can hear it. It's crucial that it comes from your mouth and that you say it loud enough that your own ears can hear you speaking. That is meditation in God's word. That is the principle God wants you applying in your life. If you're going, and please, we all want to be this. You know what? You should read it like with me. Let's read this, verse 3. But let's say, I shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever I do will prosper. That's a promise that says, I'll be healthy, and I'll be healthy right into my old age. My leaves ain't going to prosper. I'll take that. It says, whatever I do will prosper. That can be a financial blessing. But that can really be God's blessing on every single thing you do. Physical realm and spiritual realm. Soul realm, something to make you happy. This says all the blessings you could ever want in life will come if you'll just be godly. And the definition of godly is you love His word and you meditate on it. Last week, if we learned anything, we learned we sow the word in the ground by speaking it out loud. Now we meditate it. We go back to it. We keep it protected. It begins to grow. Okay? So we are going to apply this. Let this ring in your ears. Only goals set this month. Only seeds planted from a heart that is committed to God's word have the promise or the guarantee of fruit that will remain forever. And we are a word church. We are word people. We believe God's word says it. That settles it. Amen. But God wants to bring us to a new level with that. And my declaration, my prophecy for this church is 2019 is the year the word changes and changed my life. Amen. We'll get our words and our seeds sown, and we will see the fruit of it changing our life. And some of the most basic changes we want to see it make. I want to be more in love with God's word than I've ever been before, because that's the promise that guarantees every other blessing you're ever hoping for. Now, God began to give me some stuff. Well, let me do this. Let me get into it. This is the practical application of Psalm 1. Okay? How do you take what I just said about Psalm 1 and sow it into your life as a seed? And we want this sown. The church, I'm sowing this as your pastor. You'll do well to sow this. You'll do well to make this declaration yourself. Anyway, let's take a look at it. Number one, I've got you three steps here. Declare the requirements and the promises from Psalm 1. He said, blessed is the man who meditates. Father, I am meditating in your word. Every time you speak his word out loud, you're meditating. Father, I am meditating in your word. I will not be ungodly. I will meditate in your word, and I will see the blessings that are promised in Psalm 1. Speak that, declare that. Here's a Jesus principle for that very thing. Matthew 8:8. You know the story, a centurion had a servant who was sick, and he went to find Jesus, and Jesus, as always, surrounded by hordes of people, and the centurion gets to him, and he says, my servant is sick, I need you to heal him. Jesus says, I'll come to your house. He said, you don't even need to come to my house. Just send the word, just speak the word. The centurion said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. Did you get that? Only speak a word and my servant will be healed. When you speak a word from God's word, just the doing of it, just the speaking out of your mouth so your words can hear, you release the power of God in your life for your situation. Now, I don't know if you guys know who Dutch Sheets is. Love the guy, respect the guy as a prophetic voice in the body of Christ worldwide. Very solid teacher. And they're having a Start Your Year Off Right conference. It's going on right now. Oh, and by the way, we have a Start Your Year Off Right series of videos we will be showing in this church. We'll get it streamed live. We'll have access to it for 3 weeks. It's a series of three or four videos. Going to invite you all to come and watch it. We'll do it somewhere. It'll be some things about 5779. It'll be some prophetic things about this upcoming year. Dutch Sheets will be one of the speakers there. But anyway, he said this. And when I heard him say it, I told Terry, it's already in my sermon notes. Those are almost the exact words I'm going to speak over our church this Sunday. I said, I just want you to know, I didn't get it from Old Dutch, but I think I got it from the Holy Spirit. And what he said was this. He said, I promise you that if you apply the principles that I taught you last time, you will have a harvest from God like you've never seen before. I promise, if you will just apply the principle I've taught you. I'm saying that about this. I'm saying that about what we're learning about sowing the seed in the ground, the good ground of our heart. I promise you that you will have a harvest that you can see. And I've already had evidence. It's already working for me. I've been making some declarations. I'll show you here in a minute. But for now, let me say this. We'll keep it in the context of Psalm 1. I want you to start using it in the context of everything you're praying for. Everything you're praying for. You get a verse. You declare the requirements and the promises that are in the verse. When I say declare the promises that are in the verse, make declarations in prayer, in faith, in prophecy, and in worship. That's the very thing I talked about this morning, and I'll keep talking about it. in our worship service. Terry has some prophecies or some faith declarations. She writes them down all the time, and she goes back to them. She wanted to declare that over the church today. We need to remember the things that she says or the things that I say. And when somebody shares a word, whoever it might be, when somebody shares a word, when you get the witness in the spirit that that was a word of God for you, then you start declaring it. You say amen to it immediately when you hear it. And you praise the Lord with that word that you hear. What does a faith declaration look like? Lord, you said, if you'll speak a word, my servant will be healed. Lord, I declare my servant is healed. Or you fill in the blank. I declare that promise will come to pass in my life because I've declared it in a worship situation. I've declared it in a faith situation. I've declared it in a prayer situation. And I'm declaring your word, and I'm declaring that what is promised in your word will come to pass in my life. Okay? Declare the requirements and the promises from the verse. Number two, listen for the Holy Spirit-inspired thoughts and words. Please get this. When we are worshiping in here on Sunday, or you're in your prayer time at home, wherever you are that you're praying to God, and you hear Him speak, that's a prophecy. Okay? That's a prophecy. Never mind what you've been in some churches and here's what it looks like when they prophesy. Never mind that. When God speaks and you hear, and then you declare, I've got to add this part, God speaks, you hear, you declare what you heard out of your mouth, that's a prophecy. So if I say it's God's 2019 is God's year for the word to change my life, that's a prophecy. I declare it over you. I say God's promised it, I've heard it from His Spirit. Now I can honestly say, I've heard it from His Spirit. I'm declaring what His Spirit said to me. Now I'm prophesying over the church. One form of prophecy, I could speak something. Well, I know God is going to do this in your life. Dick Williams is an example of the kind of prophecy that is foretelling of what God wants to do in our lives. The other prophecy is a declaration of His word, and a declaration of expectation that what the word promises will come to pass in Jesus' name. Are you with me on that? So we want to declare the promises from the word. Number two, we want to listen for the Holy Spirit to speak while we're declaring the promise. Now, my New Testament scripture for that, and you're going to hear this. This is going in my seed sown promise. It's already there in my phone. Seeds sown for 2019. New Life Ministries will be a church where the word of Christ dwells in us richly in all wisdom. We will teach and admonish one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Let me make sure you understand what a spiritual song is. We're praising the Lord. Every promise is yes and amen. Every promise is yes and amen. And somebody, Kathy, you said, gee, I don't know if this fits, but if I sow the seed of God's word, I will reap a harvest. Somebody goes, hey, that sounds like a song. Oh, I wonder who that might be. And you start singing we start singing a song based on a prophetic word that came out of our worshiping with the promises of God's word. Now we have a spiritual song that we're singing in a worship setting. And by golly, by God. I don't have to say by golly. By God. This is a prophetic declaration. By God, when you start worshiping God with a new song that came up from the Holy Spirit as you were praising Him, declaring His word, your faith for the promises will go right over the moon. That's just another way of saying right into God's lap. You'll know that He heard you because you worshiped Him with the word that His Holy Spirit said to you. Your faith will take off. I actually got that on a slide here today. So number two, we're listening for the Holy Spirit. We're singing and praising the Lord with stuff we get from the Holy Spirit. Singing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. Number three, and this comes from Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1. The Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. There's a scriptural foundation for writing down something when God says it, so that you can run with it. We need to run with what we hear God say. We need to run with what we hear from the Spirit. Write them down. Write down the words that you get from God. Write them down. Given the century that we live in, speak them into your phone. I give you permission. Right in the worship service. Hey, I'm declaring God said to me. You can do it. You can do it. It's okay. Declare it. So you go out the door with it. It's written down. It's in your phone. You go back to that. And you declare, this is what God said to me. And you know what? You'll start running with it. You'll start running with it. I got to keep moving on this thing. Speaking of running. This one. This is the one. How else can I say it? God is blowing my mind with the fruit that's already starting to be produced from me sowing seeds beyond what I've ever done before. There's an anointing on this for right now. Listen to this from Isaiah 61. And we know this is what Jesus said, referring to himself. This is what was written 1,000 years or so before Jesus about him. He came, he fulfilled it, he declared it about himself, and it came to pass. But look what it says. The Spirit of the Lord is upon, of God, Lord God is upon me, because he's anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison doors to those who are bound. Written about Jesus over 1,000 years before he was born, he said, this is me. And he went out and lived that and fulfilled that. Nobody has any doubt that that was Jesus, his ministry. Nobody has any doubt that he fulfilled that ministry. Amen. But look at this part. This is a word for the people that Jesus ministered to in his life. And this is a word to the people that Jesus ministers to by the Holy Spirit today. That's us. Raise your hand and go, I know that's me. I know that's me. This is for you. This is for us. That they is us. That they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Somebody had a word. The seed is planted. The fruit comes in. The glory goes right back to God. Here it is right here. Jesus ministered life, healing, deliverance, salvation. He ministered. The fruit was produced, and you could see the fruit. Anybody ever have fruit in their life from the ministry of Jesus? Wave at me. We all have. The fruit that is in your life from the ministry of Jesus, get this, is given to you so that you be called a tree of righteousness, so that you be called the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Here's the one that I said, oh my God. I didn't know it was going to work this fast. Okay? I have a situation where I've been praying for somebody and the Holy Spirit kept cranking it up. Pray this way. Same thing. Sow that seed. Pray over that seed. Watch that seed. Well, be careful with it. And I kept praying and I kept praying and I kept praying it. And one day, sooner than I was expecting, sad to say, but sooner than I was expecting, I saw some fruit. I said, wow, that person did that because I was praying. And I physically observed a change that was the fruit of that seed sown. That was the fruit of the planting of the Lord. And when I saw that fruit, and I said, wow, that's because I sowed the seed. And the ground was good. And I went back and did with that word what I preached to the whole church you should do to make sure you're protecting that seed while it's in the ground. And I immediately saw fruit from it. I mean, I'm talking a week and a half and I saw fruit from it. Do you know what that did to my faith? Right through the roof. Right in the lap of God. Wow, you're working. Hey, this stuff really works. God, I'm going to go ahead and believe you for the big stuff I was sowing that seed for. Here's how it works. The planting of the Lord is evidenced by fruit. If God plants it, it's growing fruit. Amen. The tangible ministry of the Holy Spirit is the first fruit of God's harvest, and it's the guarantee of the latter greater harvest. That statement was so Holy Ghost that it shocked even me. I said, Lord, I don't talk like that. You know what he said? I do. I just got to be a little better at letting him speak through me. The planting of the Lord. And God, please, I'll say it again. God ministers to us the ministry of Jesus from the Holy Spirit, so that we become trees of righteousness, so that we become the planting of the Lord. When you see the fruit, that is the fruit of your plant, the seed you planted, your faith goes through the roof. And all of a sudden it's easy. What I sowed that seed for, it is so easy now to believe that it's coming to pass in the fullness of what I was hoping and praying for. All right? Now, I got a prophetic word, verse 4 of Isaiah 61. Says, and they shall rebuild the old ruins. Go read all of that. God wants to use you guys. He wants to use me, and he wants to use this whole church to rebuild the old ruins. Let me tell you what it looks like. I'll keep saying this to you. We are a great church. Wouldn't trade one of you for 10 of anybody else. Might sound funny. I'm just trying to compliment you. I thank God for all of you all the time. But understand this. God is calling us to a higher. He's setting the bar higher. And what is the bar? That should be us. The Spirit of God is upon me. He has anointed me. I'm preaching the gospel. I'm healing the brokenhearted. I'm setting the captives free. I'm opening prison doors to those who are. That should be the story of every one of our lives. That's us following the Holy Spirit. How are we going to get there? By me preaching good sermons on it? I try to preach good sermons. I'll do the best I can. No, what I'm believing is we're going to learn something about sowing the seed. We're going to sow that seed in our heart this year. I am. I'll be declaring it over you. I'll be prophesying it over you. But I want you to start coming to this church armed with the seeds he's given you, so that while the church, we're going to have room in every worship song. Declare your word here. Sow your seed here. Water your word here. Let's keep over this word, and we'll see the fruit of it. I believe we're going to see. The Lord confirmed it with this little process. And I want to prophesy over New Life Ministries. I want to prophesy over the Church of God in Carbon County. That's all the believers. And I want to prophesy over Helper, Utah. And for you guys who don't live in Helper, Utah, I'll prophesy it over. Well, you can prophesy it as well. Let's prophesy it over Carbon County. How about we let it spread to the whole world? That's how it's supposed to work. But I want to prophesy. I want to see this year, Lord. I will see fruit coming up from your word. And when you see the fruit coming up, watch. Your faith will be ignited. And it'll suddenly become easy to believe. Everything you're hoping and praying for will come in. All right, let's go to another one. The watering of God. Where are we here? 1 Corinthians 3:6. Did I say that right? 1 Corinthians 3:6. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Listen to the statement the Holy Spirit gave me. God's watering of the seed you're sowing, God's watering of that seed produces fruit on a level far beyond what you imagined or hoped for. Chapter 3, verse 8, still in 1 Corinthians there. He who plants and he who waters are one, but each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. Any farmer knows, you put that seed in the ground, you need to tend it. If it doesn't get water, it doesn't live. We know that needs to be our attitude. We want a good harvest. Now be careful. Had a big discussion about works and all of that stuff. We're not saved by our works. Don't worry about that. You want a harvest? You're going to need to plant the way God says to plant. You're going to need to protect that seed in the ground the way he says to protect it. You're going to make sure that seed gets water if you want a crop. And the way that seed gets water right here is the watering of God. Let me tell you what that looks like. Apollos. It says, I planted, Apollos watered. Well, what do we know about this guy Apollos? Here's what we know, Acts 18 and 24. Apollos was born at Alexandria, an eloquent man. We don't necessarily need that, thank goodness. But he was an eloquent man. Sometimes eloquent people tune God out if they're not careful. Anyway, that's a sidetrack. He was mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord. being fervent in spirit. That means he's on fire for God, passionate about Jesus and the Word. Fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord. And if you keep reading, I apparently didn't get it written up there. If you keep reading, it says he spoke boldly in the synagogue. Here's what I want you to see about Apollos, but here's what I want you to see about you. Did you get that? This is about Apollos, who God used to water the seed of the word that was being planted by Paul and the other apostles who were doing the planting. This description of Apollos, mighty in the scripture, instructed in the way of the Lord, fervent in spirit, teaching accurately the things of the Lord, that's for every single one of us. That is for every single one of us. I will be praying it. I have my scriptures for it. Psalm 25 is good for that. I'll have a bunch of them. And for me personally, I sing them every day. And the Lord's bringing that to a whole new place with me. And I'll haul you all along with me as much as I can in our worship situations. But what we want to understand is that being a description of you, on fire for God, passionate about the Word, excited about everything that God is doing in your life, great faith for the big things that are ahead, that is you. When you, please get this, it's not about what you got to do to get, well, how to put this the right way. We're saved by faith apart from works, but we're not saved without faith. So, well, isn't having faith a work? Well, don't confuse yourself. Because faith simply says, if God said it, I believe it. If he says that's me, I believe that's me. If he says I can have that, I will expect it in my life. And what do? To do what you need to do to be the watering of God. You simply say, I planted, Apollos watered. Hey, Lord, I want to be the waterer. I want the water of God on the seed that I sow. And Lord, you caused Apollos to be on fire for the word and the things of God. You taught him in the way of the Lord. I pray that every day. I declare that. I have a psalm. Teach me your ways, O Lord. Lead me in your way and teach me. That's it. I think it's Psalm 25. I could be wrong on that. But I pray and I declare it. God, you're going to teach us in the way of the Lord. I've been teaching you in the way of the Lord for 30 years. But you know what the Lord is going to teach us that's brand new? We're going to sow the seed when God says to sow it. We're going to get the right seed in the ground. And now we're going to be watching for the fruit that comes from that. That's something new. I could have taught a sermon on sowing seeds. I'm sure I've taught a few of them over the years. I'm seeing it like I've never seen it before. There's an anointing on it that I've never experienced before. And God simply is telling us, set the bar a little higher than you ever have before. Well, that Apollos, he was sure excited about God. Well, so are you in Jesus' name, because the Spirit of God lives on the inside of you and he's excited about the things of God. And when we sow by the Spirit of God and we protect the Word according to God's plan and well, I'll refer you to this one. If you stop the cares of this world from hindering you and the Word that was sown, you will see the fruit. You will see the fruit. All right? And we can expect that if Apollo orders, if Apollo was a waterer of God's word, so will you be waterers of God's word. I want you to be able to get, you're going to know the seed is in the ground. You're going to know it's protected. You're going to see the fruit coming up. And you're going to water it by simply declaring, Father, I am the watering of the seed that I'm sowing. I'm not going to sermonize that. Here's a declaration for you. I am the watering. Lord, I am the watering of the seed that you're teaching me how to sow in my life. The level of fruit that will be produced in your life because of the watering of God that you will become. Let me say that again. The level of fruit that will be produced in your life as a result of the watering of the word that you will become. And you will. And you'll know that word is being watered. You'll see fruit on a level. See how I wrote it there? Anyway, it'll be beyond what you thought or imagined. Now, got to wrap this up pretty quickly. We already said 2019 is the year God's word changed my life. It will be, and I declare that, and we should be declaring it. Our theme scripture for the year, Ephesians 5, 25 through 27, Christ also loved the church, gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. That seed is foundational for every seed you will sow this month and this year. You want that one ringing in your ears? That you want that one energized in your soul? In our worship service every Sunday morning, we should be saying corporately, and I'll lead us in that however it comes up, but even individually, you need to be saying to the Lord, Father, I thank you that this is the year that Jesus sanctifies and cleanses me by the washing of the water of the word. Just declare it. Just declare it. What will be the result of it? You, the glorious church, that's us, that's you, without spot, holy before God and without spot or blemish. That comes from sowing the seed, protecting the seed, watering the seed, and seeing the fruit come up. And we will. That's where we're going. Now this next one, gee, no time for all of that. I was debated whether even to put it up there. But let me give you this assignment, all right? Let me give you this assignment. Here, let me do this so you don't get sidetracked. By next Sunday, I'm giving you an assignment. Whatever seed, word you want to sow in your life this year, just find a scripture for it. Lord, I'd like to see family members saved and walking with Jesus Christ this year. Now, if they're a backslider slidden away, I'll tell you the one. Well, this one is going on my list, and I'm praying and prophesying over this, with starting with me and with every one of you. But here's a good one. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That doesn't mean I'm going to be scared that God's going to squish me like a bug if I make a mistake. That's not what the fear of the Lord is. That simply says, God, you said I should work out my own salvation. I guess I always have to say it. Salvation doesn't only mean going to heaven instead of hell when I die. What salvation means, the power of God is sent into my life as a free gift from God, and it fixes whatever needs fixed by the grace and the power of God. That's salvation. I have no doubt that I'm going to heaven. You know my story. God says, why should I let you in? I say the fall of 1978 when I got saved. Made Jesus the Lord of my life. He'll say, come on in. I was just checking. And in I'll go. But how do I apply, work out my own salvation with fear and trembling? What does that look like for me today? God, what is it you're wanting to do in my life so that my life bears the fruit of the seed of God sown in me? That's the Holy Spirit, for starters. That's every word that I'll be declaring this month. Lord, I want to see the fruit of God's planting and God's watering. I want to see that like I've never seen it before. So I'm declaring this verse over my life. I'm declaring that verse over my life. I'm going to work out my own salvation with fear and trembling. I'm going to apply the principles that we're learning in here, especially this month. And by the end of this month, I will know the verses that I'm using to believe for people to get saved, for Carbon County to be a place where everybody's on fire for God, and it's easier to hook up with God in Carbon County than it is anywhere on the planet. Do you know that's the standard? That's God's standard. That's what our life should look like if we're glorifying God. Now, we're going to sow the seed. We got to get, well, let me come back to this. We got to get a seed. One thing I've desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. All these things shall be added to you. Nothing should be more important than your intimate communicating relationship with Jesus Christ. If that isn't what it's supposed to be, how do I know what it's supposed to be? Read the word. I don't have time, but let me just tell you, nothing is more important than your intimate communicating relationship with a resurrected Savior. There's a couple of verses. You get a verse if you want to see your relationship with the Lord improve this year. How about your health? How about your prosperity? Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. There's one to sow. That'll get your soul in a good condition. But it'll even bless your, I can go ahead and say it here, it'll bless your finances. It'll bless God's provision in your life for every need that you will ever have. Are you with me? You got to get a word. How about happiness? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Gee, if that's in my life, I ought to be pretty happy, wouldn't you think? And by the way, this Wednesday starts the Bible study to make sure that seed's sown in your life. You'll be happier with that seed sown and with that seed bearing fruit. All I did with all of this. Oh, and here's the one that Terry and I will be declaring over ourselves this year. Wise submits to... Oh, I got to say it. Now, don't get scared. I know you're good friends with Terry. You don't got to go rat me off. I will put it in the right perspective. Every wedding I've ever done, and I do more of them than most folks. Okay, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Oh, don't we like that, men? Oh, baby. Yeah. Go fetch my slippers. Where's that remote? Sorry, guys. You'll have to repent of that. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. The husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. He's the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, man, if you miss this, you don't have the right to ask your wife to do anything. Did you get that? All kidding aside. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loves the church and gave himself for her. And then he goes into our psalm for 2019. He loved her so much, he died for her so that he could sanctify and cleanse her by the water and the word, and that he could present her to himself a glorious church. The calling on my life as a husband is to make sure my wife knows she's the most important thing on this planet to me. And if I prove to her that truth by making sacrifices for her like Christ did for the church, if I prove to her by my life that she can trust me and that she can expect me always to put her first, even to the point of my death, putting her first, if I teach her that by demonstration, she'll have no problem being submissive to that. If I don't do my part, any woman would struggle to be submissive to some man who isn't going to treat her the way Jesus would treat her, and it becomes a busted play. Well, we'll be declaring both of that, all of that, and that should improve our marriage. I think we're over the hump. I mean, we've been married now, I always want to say 32 or 35 years, and she always corrects me. We've been married a long time. I think we're over the hump. I think we're going to stick together till the end. But you know what? If we'll sow that seed, we'll see a better relationship. We were joking around, oh, then you'll be in agreement. Yeah, that'll bring you into agreement. That'll bring a husband and wife into a Holy Spirit agreement. Now they're speaking, now they're declaring, and nothing's in the way of it. And you have an agreement between husband and wife that is an example of the agreement between Jesus and the church and his Father. That's how that's supposed to work. So all I want you to see, and then we have some relationships. What about non-family relationships? Here's a couple of verses for you. Number one, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. What fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What communion has light with darkness? You put that right next to the weak, I became as weak that I might be win the weak. I become all things to all men that I might by all means save some. So God says, don't fellowship with unbelievers. They'll pull you away from God. But be ready as I lead you by the Holy Spirit to be anything for anybody so I can save them. That's right. We need the revelation of both of those things because we need to charge in where God sends us, knowing that we can be what that person needs so God can save them. We also need to have a have some fruit in our life that says, stay away from that one. That's an unbeliever who will never come to Christ. And he'll try to take you down if you're not careful. In fact, if the Lord is saying, don't go get yourself yoked into that situation. This is a prophetic word, Andrew. If God says, don't go in there, you're going to yoke yourself to an unbeliever. There's no careful you can be if you ignore that. You're going down. You're going down. We'll be merciful. We'll forgive you. We'll try to get you back on your feet. If God says, don't go in there, you're going to yoke yourself to a situation that I've told you to stay out of. You're going down. You can't. Well, I'll just be real careful. I know what that looks like, piled up on the pavement after 110 mile an hour. I know what that looks like. After somebody said, don't go there, I'll just be careful. That's a whole nother sermon, but you know it mostly. All right. Note 10, though. That's a good image right there. Find your verses. Get a verse for what you're going to. That's how we sow it in the ground. In our worship service. This is how it's going to look next Sunday. Somebody get something from God? Be sure you're declaring it in our worship today. You don't all have to run up to the mic and say anything, but be sure you're declaring that word in a worship setting. Father, this is the year that my children come to God in the full sense of salvation by grace through faith. I declare that and have a scripture for that. It's God's will that all be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Say that. Plant that seed. Pray over that seed. You'll see the fruit. It'll ignite your faith. It'll go right over the moon. I don't know why I like to say it that way, but there you go. We'll just say your faith will skyrocket right into the presence of God. You'll have an easy time believing for what you've sown the seed for because you've seen it. You've seen the first fruit. That'll guarantee your soul that you'll see more fruit down the road. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I sow this seed in the good ground of every heart. I believe we will see a return 30, 60, and 100 fold on these seeds sown. And I declare the planting of God is in operation right now. I believe the watering of God is in operation and will continue to grow. I believe the blessing of God will be upon this harvest, on this seed, and ultimately on the harvest that we will reap. I declare that, Lord, and by faith I receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. We are. If Terry had some prayer folks, would you get over there? And if you need some prayer,